Welcome to Life Quest, a program that directs you to subjects and books that will make a difference in your life. A program that will make you think and strengthen your journey of faith in the 21st century. My name is Dwight Lainhoff. Today on Life Quest, I'm talking with Don West. Pastor Don West has had a, extensive missionary experience as an evangelist in his homeland of Jamaica, as well as Central America, China, the United States. He currently lives in Anchorage, Alaska. He serves as a pastor of Anchorage Community and Spanish Churches. Don, welcome to Life Quest.
Thank you for having me.
Don, did you grow up in a Christian home?
I certainly did. Both my parents were Seventh-day Adventists, and I had the joy of growing up in that environment. Yeah.
When did you begin to think that you wanted to preach, that you wanted to become a preacher?
The idea first came to me when I was starting to become very active in my home church, in the youth ministry, and assisting whenever there were activities such as evangelistic series, things like going out and doing in gathering, were always things that brought significant satisfaction to me when I was involved. And so it didn't take long before individuals started to suggest that, you know, Don, with your gifts and your abilities, you would do well in the ministry. I didn't respond positively at first to that, you know, because I had other ideas of what I wanted to do with my life. But, you know, eventually those voices and those suggestions, you know, began to take effect. And about 17 years old, I took the decision that that's what I wanted to do. And, you know, I've never regretted since taking that decision.
Pastor West, we'd like to talk to you today about your book, Joy in the Night, Stops Along the Journey of an Itinerant Preacher. Why did you write this book at this time?
Well, the first idea of writing that book came about after a number of individuals started asking me about sermons that I had preached, messages that they had heard me deliver in different places. And, you know, the idea came to me that if I were to make those messages available in a printed way, mm-hmm. that would be one way to answer the you know, those petitions. And so I was still in university, seminary, when I thought about doing that. And so it was as a response to people asking, what about this message, Joy in the Night, that you preached at this church? Or what about that sermon you presented about the leper? So it was the suggestion came to me that way, but I'm very sure that it was the Spirit of God really working through those individuals to get me to think that maybe, you know, printing those messages might be a way of keeping, you know, the word before not only those who heard it, but, you know, a way of sharing it with others who might not have had the privilege to listen while I presented those sermons. So that's how the idea came to me in the first place.
I must tell our listeners that the table of contents is divided up with these various stops that you've made in Jamaica, in Georgia, in Trinidad, New York, Mexico, and other places. When you go to these places, you have to make a decision on what you're going to preach about. How does that work for you? Because, for instance, I'm looking at one here that you preached in Spanish Town. The message is Joy in the Night, and it's from Psalm 30, verse 5. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Who is that speaking to in your congregation that day?
Sometimes the choice of what to present on a particular occasion depends on the invitation, depends on the event that they're having. Sometimes people give you a theme, and then, you know, that theme will, as you pray and rest with the Holy Spirit, that theme may take you to a particular passage or a particular text in the Bible. Sometimes it's very open. People just invite you. They want you to come on a particular Sabbath, and you just pray and you ask the Lord what message he thinks would be more suitable for that particular occasion, mm-hmm. and the decision is made like that. It Joy in the Night, as you might notice, is not only the title of the book, but it is the very first message that is there. And so the entire concept of the book is built around that. And it's very interesting because people say to me that the passage says joy comes in the morning, so how do you get to be speaking about joy in the night?
Yes.
And that's a very interesting discussion, because when I thought about the passage, joy in the morning is the promise that we all look forward to. The morning is when Jesus comes, and the morning is when there is no more pain, no more hurt, no more suffering. But the reality that we all experience right now is the night, and you know, nights of pain, nights of sickness, nights of distress of various sorts. And so I thought I would study in the Bible to see what the Bible has to say about the night.
Uh-huh.
And I was able to find that God has a lot to say about the night, and that there is actually a joy that He gives you in the night. In other words, regardless of what your situation is, if our focus is in the right place and if our hope is in the Lord, He can give you that joy in the night, which I interpret to be a transient joy, a kind of precursory joy, a joy to keep us happy in the Lord while we are here. But it does not negate and it does not detract from the ultimate joy that comes in the morning, which is why you'll notice that the book begins using the same passage of Scripture. It begins with joy in the night, but the final chapter is joy in the morning. It's the very same text.
As I was reading your sermons, I found it interesting. First of all, I appreciate the fact that in many ways it's what we call an expository sermon. You're taking a text from the Scripture and opening it up for the congregation. But there's two other things I wanted to share with our listeners as they might find interest in this book. And that is that you're not afraid to use personal illustrations in your own life situation. And secondly, yes, it's a divine message, but nearly every one of these messages is a very practical message in the current lives of your listeners.
That's correct. That's correct. I try to make it that way. I believe that a sermon is much more powerful and meaningful when you can show how the principles of Scripture actually make sense in your personal life. And what this book has enabled me to do, like you're mentioning there, is to just kind of share how my own journey with God has enabled me to give a testimony, which, you know, I believe will resonate with a number of individuals who read this book. In particular, in stop 8, where we're talking about horrible pits and new songs, that's one of my favorite passages in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about David being in the horrible pit and how the Lord has heard his cry and given him a new song. That is something that I believe just about anybody who has embarked upon a Christian journey can identify with. You know, like I say there, if you have not experienced the horrible pit, you will at some point in your life, because everybody goes through that phase, everybody goes through that experience. So that was one of the important factors in selecting these messages. They needed to be messages that people could identify with, that people could resonate with. And I feel satisfied that the Holy Spirit did a good work in helping us make that choice.
When you were in Atlanta, you were preaching on this passage in the Psalms about except the Lord build the house, their labor in vain. Sometimes we come up with ideas, projects, even relationships, but if we sat down and talked to the Lord about it, we might change them quite a bit.
Certainly, certainly. And that message brings out, I believe, maybe two of the most important points that are in this book. As we come towards the end of that particular chapter, and it is, as I think about, you know, how the Lord brought this message to me, it brings a smile to my face. You know, the first major point is that what God is saying is that we must be willing to have Him both as the builder and the keeper if we want to be successful in whatever it is that we're doing in our spiritual walk or spiritual journey. or even, you know, other aspects of our lives. And one of those points says that God will not build anything that he does not intend to keep, which means that God will not start you on a journey that he's not prepared to finish. That if he began this journey with you, and if you started with him, you can rest assured. You know, the passage says, he that has begun a good work in you will finish it. And then the final point, which, you know, might be a little less celebratory than the first, it's quite solemn, and it is that God will not keep anything that he did not build. So God is working as the builder and as the keeper in our lives, and we have to be prepared to trust him that he knows what is best for us, and that he will, like Jeremiah says, bring us to that expected end, which is something greater, even far more beautiful than we could ever imagine.
Again, if you've just tuned in, the book is Joy in the Night, Stops Along the Journey of an Itinerant Preacher. We're talking with Don West, the author and pastor, about the messages that he's included in this book. One that grabbed my attention here, you spoke in St. Augustine, Trinidad, and it struck me as sometimes something we don't want to hear, and that is an invitation to wait on the Lord, to tarry. Sometimes think, well, we've got a message to give to our neighbors, to our friends, and we've got to do it. And why isn't the Lord working real quickly, right, in our time? Or maybe it's something we've prayed about for a great length of time, our children, a project, a job, and yet nothing seems to happen for a while. This message seems to speak to that.
It does. It does, and it's very, very important for us to understand that both the command to go and to spread the gospel and to preach and to teach and to baptize, as well as the command to tarry, came from the same Lord. And that may seem to be contradictory, that the Lord says go and then he says wait before you go. But that waiting is to ensure that we understand that our success is dependent not on anything that we do, not on our education or our expertise or our experience. A lot of time we tend to rely on our experience. Well, I've been in the work so long, you know, I know what to expect, I know how to go about things. But the Lord is saying, regardless of all the blessings in terms of experience and know-how that you may have, the success in mission is going to be dependent on the work of the Holy Spirit. So go, preach the gospel, but before you go, tarry in Jerusalem until you'll be endued with power from on high. It's not contradictory. It's in fact necessary if we are to experience success in our spiritual journey.
When you were in Montemorelos in Mexico, you preached a sermon, scripture, about the fact that we must be careful not to to follow lies, the willingness of good people to believe a lie sometime. There are a lot of people, even in the Christian world, we watch religious programming on television. We hear pastors come and they have a very exciting message sometimes in our churches, and yet we find out that maybe it's not always what we thought it was. And yet it sounds so good, we want to believe it. In the States, we have something called urban lies or urban legends that build up. What was your concern here?
My concern was that people ought to go back to the scriptures for themselves. Just like you're mentioning there, so many people depend on the spiritual food that they get from their religious leaders and their different churches and denominations and organizations. And of course, these have their roles and these have their function. But any time our dependence is placed on these things rather than a personal investigation in the scripture under the guidance of the Holy Spirit to find the truth, we're always in danger. Deception would not be so powerful if it did not so closely resemble the truth. And we must understand that one of the most effective strategies of the enemy in these last days would be to so effectively and so subtly mix truth with error that people who are not very attentive will be easily misled. That's why the Lord gives the warning that if the elect are not careful, even they are in danger. And so it is an appeal to go back to the Word of God, to investigate for yourself, to search for the evidence in Scripture itself for truth, which is the only sure foundation on which we can stand.
Sometimes, Pastor, someone comes maybe with saying they have new truth, or they have a new prophecy that they've discovered in the Bible. And right or wrong, it really sounds right. We want to believe it, but there really is little or very little scriptural basis for this.
Correct. That's correct. And God is always revealing new things. God is always giving deeper understanding of truth already revealed. And perhaps the guiding principle here, in order for us to stay on the right path and to be able to determine whether something that we're learning is true or not true, is this very principle that God does not contradict himself. God does not come up with a new revelation that contradicts or goes against the revelation that he himself has given before. And so if our foundation is the Bible, the Word of God, and we are seeking under the guidance of the Holy Spirit to understand that word in a clearer way every day, then when something new to us comes to our attention, then it will not be difficult for that very same Spirit to guide us in determining whether or not does this harmonize with what I already know. And having that background in the Scriptures certainly is very, very helpful, I'd say even essential, for us to be able to identify and determine whether new revelations are from God or if they're from another source.
We have a wonderful message in the Scripture, and yet sometimes it seems as if we want to keep tuning the violin, but we never end up playing a melody.
Right, right. It's a very interesting principle that has helped me, that I share, you know, with the people that I preach to and the churches I pastor about spiritual growth, is that knowledge is good, but knowledge applied is what really helps us to grow. And if we want to have a deeper knowledge of the truth, then one of the first principles that we need to follow is to put into practice the truth already revealed. And as God sees you taking that step of faith by putting in practice what he has already revealed to you, then that process of revelation continues, and that process of growth continues until God has us in the place that he wants us to be. But that is what faith is all about, hearing the word and doing it step by step. Not that we understand every aspect of the will of God before we obey him, because if that were the case, then there would be no need for faith. So once we come to the knowledge of what God is asking us to do, step by step, we walk hand in hand with him until we reach that place where he wants us to be.
We referred earlier to your final message here about joy in the morning. You know, there's a hymn that is sometimes sung in churches. There is joy when the work is done. But you know, Pastor, there's also joy in doing the work. So there are times in our lives when, it's the work isn't so that great. The work of living, the work of sharing our faith. But there is joy in the morning.
There is. And it is something to look forward to. And I hope that, you know, as people read this book, that joy will capture their hearts, and that one day we will all have the opportunity and the privilege to not only experience the joy that comes in the night here, but the joy that comes in the morning when Jesus says, "Hello, my children, it's time to go home."
The book is Joy in the Night, Stops Along the Journey of an Itinerant Preacher by Pastor Don West. Pastor West, where can people get a copy of your book?
The book is available on Amazon. It's also available on Barnes & Noble and Google Books. If someone does a search on Google, they see actually maybe about 30 different places online where they can get purchases. You can walk into any Barnes & Noble store and order it. It's not on the shelves just yet in Barnes & Noble, but they do have it in their catalog and you can order it there. Or you can go directly to the publisher's website, which is teachservices.com, and on the new releases, you'll be able to find Joy in the Night there. If the listeners in Anchorage can walk into the Vine and Branches bookshop, and it is on the shelf here at Vine and Branches, but nationwide, perhaps the easiest sources would be Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and the publisher's website, teachservices.com.
Pastor Wes, thanks for being with us today on LifeQuest.
Thanks for having me. It was my pleasure.
If you go into any Christian bookstore, even a Walmart, you find a wide variety of really good Christian books. If you find a book or an author that you really have learned to appreciate and has been a blessing to you, let us know here at LifeQuest. I'd certainly like to do an interview and get a copy of the book from the publisher that you think the rest of the LifeQuest listeners would be blessed with. So send me an email, lifequest@lifetalk.net. Thanks for listening to LifeQuest today. If you have questions or comments, you may send them to lifequest@lifetalk.net. My name is Dwight Lainhoff.